Good morning, one and all, and welcome to the Sunday service of the Free Community Church. We are very glad that you can join us today, whether on-site or online, and we welcome you and welcome home. Please feel free to feel at peace, for God is with us here right now. As we prepare our hearts and minds to worship our Lord, if for those of you who are on site and if you are willing and able, please stand and join us in this call to worship. Eternal God of hope,
we come into your presence this morning with confidence that you will meet us here.
Where there is sadness, bring joy.
Where there is tiredness, bring refreshment.
Where there is despair, bring a renewed sense of hope.
Let this place be a sanctuary, a safe haven for us.
A home of holy words and songs and prayers.
As we devote ourselves to you. Amen.
Please be seated. Let us now prepare our hearts and our voices to sing praises and worship our God through songs. Due to regulations, unfortunately, we are not able to sing, but please feel free for those on site to express this time of worship through humming, through clapping, through dance even, if you feel that is what you are called to do. And let us enjoy this time of worship in prayers to our God.
Good morning, church. Join us in a time of singing. As we sing of God's goodness and faithfulness in our lives, this morning, may God's voice speak to you. Let's sing, I love you. I love you, Lord. For your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. For your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. Together we sing. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God.
I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In darkest nights, you are close like no other.
I will sing goodness of God. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now, I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after.
And we sing it out, sing it out, sing this out.
Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now, I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me.
Your goodness,
your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now, I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so good. Every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life we sing. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so good. Every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Let's sing one more time. All my life.
All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so good. Every breath sing of the goodness of God. I will sing of the goodness of God. I will sing of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running up. It's running after me. Your goodness is running after. It's running after me. With my life laid out, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after. It's running after me.
Together one more time.
Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now, I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running up to me.
Thank you.
In Isaiah 11, verse 6, it says, "And the wolf will dwell with the lamb, And the leopard will lie down with a kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little boy will lead them. Please pray with me. God, you have given us a vision of how the world will be in your kingdom. No more fighting, no more wars, no more pain, no more suffering. This is your promise for the future. Jesus, for 1,000 years, you will rule the world, a different kind of world, with new priorities, new rules, a world of compassion, forgiveness, and justice. Lord, please help us remember that we can do more than just wait for this brand new world, that we are called to build a glimpse of it right here, right now. Like a stone that creates ripples when it falls into the water, we are called to start in the center by creating faith communities with you, set up in your spirit, determined by your compassion. And like the ripples of the stone, this vision of the future, your future, will grow and inspire others in our relationships, our families, our cell groups, our workplaces. Thank you, Lord, for giving us this amazing vision of the future, the city on the hill of your kingdom. And help us to start building it now, based on your values that are often opposite to the cutthroat values of this world, based on compassion for others, on forgiveness for ourselves and those who trespass against us, on justice for all, so that your heavenly kingdom can start today. Amen.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us here at One Commonwealth, and those of you who are online, thank you for joining us this morning for Sunday service. We have been using Menti for quite a while to engage, and it transformed the way we do service and the way we engage with one another, interact with one another, during the sermon. And your participation actually crafts the sermon alongside what I've already prepared. So for those of you who are new, you might want to log in to menti.com. For those of you who are familiar, you'll know what to do, right? And today's code is 66648045. And you can scan the code and join us. And I invite you to reflect, think about throughout the sermon, the parts I ask questions that you contribute to, because you will also shape, and the learning is a process that we do together, right? We are going through the sermon series, Our Story of God and Us, and today I'm talking about community. We are going to revisit many core themes around our relationship with God, and this topic about community is because we cannot do faith alone. This sermon series is called Our Story of God and Us, and not My Story of God and Me. And community is literally our middle name, Free Community Church. And what does community mean to you? I see a lot of you very eager already and started keying in the answers. Invite you to think about what it means. Some people have said sharing, commitment, home, togetherness, forgiveness, support, love, compassion, friendships. It seems like togetherness is the one that has the most... now support has taken over. Community means support. Yes, a cell group to rely on, challenging each other, coexistence. Thank you. Thank you for your input. Why I value this a lot is because this is not going to disappear after we finish, right? After every sermon, I actually download your answers and we archive them. And I think that's very important that we remember all this wisdom, all these experiences that you have contributed to. And from all the things that you see, love one another, fidelity, togetherness, bonding, fellowship, the core of it is community is relational. And I really love this quote from Brother Luke Dietrich from the Society of St. John the Evangelist. We don't do church alone because God isn't alone. And God is community and invites us into community. God chose a family to bless and save the world through Abraham. And no one person could do it alone. The Christian story and all the stories of Scripture are about a people. Our story is one of families and communities. God is relational, and the God we believe in is God is one, but God is also a triune God. God, the Creator, the Savior, and the Spirit. And in this, within God, there is relationship. And so God is community. This COVID pandemic has been a challenging time for us. When we say community is relational, we are saying that it's a two-way street. We relate with one another. But during this time, it's been difficult to be community because most of what we do is one way. Even those of you who are here, present in church, are required not to mingle before service. And after service, you are required to leave without mingling. Of course, we can gather after that and eat lunch together in groups of eight. But even within the groups of eight, you are not allowed to mingle with other groups. It really reduces the way we can relate to one another. And for you, those of you who are joining us online, this community or this church service, it's just one way. And while we try to have different ways to allow you to have input, it is definitely far from optimal, right? You can contribute, you know, by answering the questions on Menti, but still we struggle. We struggle to relate with one another and to maintain this idea of community. I think that there's something that we need to think about. Because for many people, actually, if you think about it, some of us have not met each other for maybe even up to a year. Some a couple of months. And some probably, those online, I have seen you during Christmas. And that's not helpful for us on the long term. Of course, there are so many restrictions for us today. And we need to think about new ways of being community that allows us to connect, that is relational. Jamie has talked about, on many occasions, about engagement and getting feedback. The feedback isn't just asking you like a customer satisfaction survey for your opinions to improve our services, but that's what businesses do. But it's also because we want to hear from you because it's relational. It helps us to connect with one another. So one of the things that we tried to do and think of new ways is that stained glass project that we have embarked on, and we plan to put it up for Easter Sunday and transform the space visually. But this stained glass project is also for you to tell your story. And I see some of you have re-brought the stained glass, your tiles, to church. And we have gotten over 20 stained glass pieces already. And I know some of our friends from overseas have already mailed them. And hopefully they arrive by this week. But one of the things about this stained glass is not just that it is a way of worshipping, a way of experiencing our spirituality. It also has a lesson to teach us. When we look at other people's stained glass tiles, they may not be up to our taste. The colour scheme might not be what we prefer. Some people draw in black and white, no, black, right? Using only the black marker and there's no colour on it, just patterns. For some of us, we like bursts of colour, colours of the rainbow. And for us, we use a mainly blue palette, blue or the cooler colours. Some of us use a warm palette. All of us are different. And when we look, how do we see this diversity? How do we accept each other's work as different? Right? Because sometimes we want to control, we want to make it look a certain way. When the team was coming up with the ideas of how the panel is going to look like, some of us even suggested, you know what, we can actually invite people, some people to use a mainly yellow palette, some people use a red palette, some people use a blue palette, so that we have tiles to work with to create patterns on the window, so we can have a rainbow window kind of thing. But that's us wanting to control the outcome. I think being in community, in God, is rather different. It's allowing everybody's differences to come together, to celebrate it, and to allow God to work through that. And the beauty comes from exactly the diversity and the messiness that it is. For those of us who want control, that will freak us out. But what if we just let go and let God? I mean, that's a hope for it, right? I want to control too. I mailed out the tiles to our friends in Australia, Malaysia, UK, US and Canada, hoping that we can rush it back on time. But you know, after a couple of weeks, you know, right now, how I'm feeling is, you know what? It is what it is. We are living in a time of pandemic. That even if we don't live in a time of pandemic, the postal services are really, we are really dependent on postal services, when we'll get the tiles back. And if we get the tiles back, right, it might be lost in the mail. And I learned to breathe and let go. So how are we in community in different ways? We don't, in this time of COVID-19, we don't see the situation changing for a while, and we're stuck. COVID-19 has disrupted community building, and it's not just us alone. It affects families, it affects school, it affects all of us in different ways. And this is where we, as a church community, struggle. We've been repeating announcements over and over and over, ad nauseam, and very grateful to Gary for putting now the announcements into a video before the service. But we have always talked about pastoral support, our Wednesday night prayer, because these are ways that we are thinking might be possibilities where we allow some form of community gathering together, connecting with one another during this time where a lot of what we usually do is disrupted. So one of the things that I want to ask is, if you have ideas and suggestions, please let us know. Please let us know so that you contribute to this. You know, we are running out of ideas, and this is something that has not happened before. And we want to learn, right, and grow through that. Mentee is something that we have embarked on, and while it is imperfect, it allows us, it allows you to share a lot of your thoughts, your reflections, your struggles in a way that's safe, right? Sometimes you might be uncomfortable in sharing certain things because of confidentiality, because it might impact someone else, because you're really struggling with it still. But in that anonymity on Menti, actually, there's a space for you to share. Another thing, I forgot to show you these are some of the tiles that have been submitted for the past few weeks. The deadline is not up yet, so we are still inviting you to continue to send in your pieces. We are only closing on next Sunday. And we hope that you can contribute so that we can really fill up really create a mosaic of diversity on our walls. I think I need to remind us also that community is not an organization. Community is a way of living. We gather around people with whom we share common values and beliefs with. But what are these common values and beliefs that we share here at FCC? In this community, we aspire to be the body of Christ. And the body of Christ is not a relic to be on display, right? I'm not sure if you have traveled. Some of you might have traveled overseas to some churches before, and they put relics of saints on display. Right, whether it is the finger bone, or it is the arm, or it's the whole body of the saint, these are relics. But the body of Christ is not dead. The body of Christ is living. And how do we become the living testimony of God's presence in the world as the body of Christ? By walking, doing, and living out Jesus' teachings here and now. But the reality is that we often fall short of what is required of us. We sometimes lose hope and give up. Sometimes we get discouraged. Sometimes we get distracted. And sometimes distracted by very important things, like meeting regulations, you know, and all the things that come about because of COVID requirements. We have to focus on that at that point in time. And sometimes we let our ego get the better of us. We sometimes let issues, bias, and prejudice affect our decisions and our actions as well. But still, we try to do our best given what we know. And here it is important that we do this in community. Because it is in community we have companions who share with us what we need to hear and not what we want to hear. It is in community that we can discern through all the different voices what God is telling us. At FCC, we always say, first realize everyone's equal. And we see community as a circle and not a pyramid. A community is a circle. An organization is a pyramid. And the thing is, as organizations or as communities grow, they need some structure. And so they become, a lot of times, churches become organizations. And of course, we have to be organized in some way. It cannot be anything goes, right? Then we won't be able to run certain things. There were leadership, who is the actual leader, who's setting the direction. But we must always live in this tension between organization and community and remember at the core who we are called to be, right? Living in that tension. Sometimes churches can drift into so much into organization that it becomes a pyramid where the one at the top, whoever it is, the leader, becomes almost like God. That one person at the top becomes all-powerful. And that isn't the kind of community the body of Christ looks like. Because all of us are different parts of the body. All of us serve different functions. All of us have different gifts. And it's in recognizing each other's gifts that we become the body of Christ. And in a pyramid, when power gets concentrated at the top, it often leads to abuse of power. And while we have structure to run things, we also keep in mind how we choose to relate to one another. And this is one of the values and beliefs that we share at FCC, that each of us are unique, we are also equal, equally beloved by God, and we want to live that out here. That's why it's first realize everyone's equal. That doesn't mean that we are the same. We are certainly different. And some of you are definitely more gifted than me in many areas. Some of you are more gifted than me in music talent, right, which I have very little of. Some of you are more gifted than me in writing. Some of you are more gifted than me in the ways you relate with children. And so we recognize that we have shortcomings, but all of us have shortcomings. We choose to live together because we need each other to live out Jesus' teachings and learn to be more Christ-like. We need each other to hold each other accountable so we can become who we aspire to be as individuals and as a community. There'll be times we fail to be loving. There'll be times we fail to be the best of ourselves. And while we are here to hold each other accountable, we are also here to help each other get up and try again. Accountability isn't about punishment, but taking responsibility and making amends so that we can align with what we say and who we say we are and who we say we want to be. And this is sometimes something that we have to keep reminding ourselves of because we often forget and we let the ways of the world influence how we do community. This is spiritual growth. And this growth can only happen in community. We cannot do it for ourselves. Or we cannot do it by ourselves. We cannot own self, check own self. Sometimes we require someone next to us to point out things that we are blind to. And sometimes we need someone to point us out things that we pretend that it's not there. Because self-deception is so powerful. We pretend it's not there. We don't see. We sweep things under the carpet. But an intimate friend, someone walking with us on this journey, someone in community with us, reminding us in a loving way, or open our eyes to see the plank that's in our own eyes. There's no such thing as a solo Christian. And each one of us seek community to help us grow spiritually. And sometimes we seek multiple communities because it's in different communities we learn different things, and that's okay. And community, if we do it right, it's creating that safe space for us to grow spiritually. But what is a safe space? What do you think are the qualities of a safe space? And I want you to think about what qualities do we need to have a safe space? How does it look like? What will it allow us to be? That's what community is supposed to be, right? A safe space for us to learn, grow. It is safe. Thank you. open-minded, non-judgmental, trust-loving, agree to disagree, checking in, boundaries, listening, no shaming. We need this non-judgmental and non-judgment, and seems to be something that is popping up, you know, people putting it in different phrasing, but it seems to be a very large part. Non-judgmental doesn't mean no criticism. Right? Let's not confuse being judgmental and pointing out issues. Pointing out issues doesn't necessarily mean that it's judgmental. It oftentimes is about our approach, how we point out those issues. And it's a learning journey for me as well. I mean, this story I've shared before and about my learning experience in community. Years ago, and some of you might remember this incident, when I first came back to FCC, and I first was a pastor, and back when we were at Aljunied, there was one incident that's etched on my mind. And I've spoken to Junior many times about it, right? There was one day that Junior came to church wearing a T-shirt with a swastika on it. She didn't know what it meant, but I did. And I was livid, right? And I was like, why on earth do I see this symbol of hate in church? So, being very new and perhaps wet behind the ears, barely a year of being pastor, during an announcement, I called her out. And I said, you know what that shirt means? It's a symbol of hate, right? Do you think I did something wrong? I certainly did. For me to remember it to this day, last year I had a conversation with Junie again, and she went, you're still hung up about it. You know, it's like, how many years ago already you're still hung up about it? And I told her, it was a learning moment for me. It was a learning moment for me because I did it in a judgmental way. I used shame to point it out. Of course I had to do something about it. But the loving way to do it is perhaps to take her aside and talk to her one-on-one and not use it in a very, not shame her in front of everybody. That is not loving. And that's something I learned. And I continue to learn. I will continue to make mistakes, different kind of mistakes along the way because I am not perfect. But this is where we grow as community. I grow and you grow and we grow together. A safe space allows that. And I hope that we can create this space where we step back from judgment, we step back from shaming people and embrace them with love and teach in a loving way. A safe space is where we can be authentic. Where we can be authentic to own up our issues, to say that I'm not perfect. It is where we feel safe from judgment, a place where we can be vulnerable, a place where we can take off our masks. Community is not a place for conformity. There are, of course, basics that we need to agree about, right? It's not that we agree to disagree, but there are some fundamentals we need to agree with. We need to agree that we don't harm one another. We need to agree that we love one another. But a lot of the other things, you know, we can agree to disagree. This safe space allows us not to agree to every single thing. And when someone disagrees with you, that doesn't mean that you're not worthy. That doesn't mean that person does not love you. That's something that we need to learn. Because very often we confuse the two, that you do not agree with me, therefore you do not love me. And the conversely, if you love me, then you agree with me. That's not true. If you love me and you have to agree with me, then I will never change. I'll never grow. I will be stuck as who I am because there's nothing to help me move into who I'm called to be. An authentic community means that you are not required to pretend to be someone you are not, to be this part, this, to be part of this community. You can be you. You know, very often we have experienced the reverse. Many of us showed up as who we are in community and in church communities especially, but we end up being bullied, ostracized, or cast out. And we have learned to hide. We've learned to hide ourselves. But isn't it ironic that we have to lie about ourselves so that we are welcome in a place where God's unconditional love is proclaimed? If we have to pretend to be someone we are not, then what's the point of church? Authentic community means we celebrate each person as God's beloved, made in God's image. We celebrate each person accepting their humanity and see our brokenness reflected in their brokenness. Very often we react to people pointing out their brokenness, and we have a whole huge issue about it because actually they are reflecting ours. We have not dealt with, we have not embraced our own brokenness, and therefore we end up criticizing, attacking, refusing, rejecting someone else's brokenness. When we look at each piece, each tile, the different colors, the different patterns, and some of the drawings from the children were very simple, right? And someone will go like, you know, we are putting it up like a stained glass, but is it worthy of being put up? We often desire something beautiful in how we understand beauty in the world out there. But is there not beauty in the work of a child, in the work of someone who is not an artist? Perhaps many of you have not worked on the tile yet because you have been told you're not artistic enough. Your drawings are really not up to standard. And that's many of us. I cannot draw, or I think that I cannot draw. But that's not the point. The point is that your imperfection is part of why we need each other. Your imperfection helps us all see clearly our own brokenness, and you are each and hold each other in this space. If we demand everyone to be perfect, then this community will be one that's full of fakes. Because dare anyone say that they are perfect? Here also, authentic community isn't transactional. You do not need to earn a place here. You are worthy just as you are. We invite you to find your place in community. And if you don't find a place, we have to try and make you, we have to try to make space for you. This is how we draw the circle wide to include more people. And when you find your place here, then you will naturally find how you can contribute to this community, not out of a sense of obligation, but out of a sense of belonging. I've given you this example because I'll give you this example, right? Because once you feel that you belong, this place, this community won't be just community to you, it'll be home. And when you see areas that can help, you naturally step up. You actually don't end up asking for permission. You do it not to be recognized, not for praises, but simply because this place also belongs to you. When you feel that this place is your home, then when there's a cup, dirty cup lying around, you help bring it to the sink, wash it and put it away to dry. This is part of what we do at home. right? This is that kind of feeling that we hope that you, when you step up to serve, that you have. It comes from a sense of belonging in this community. We are not perfect, I must say. We are still very, very flawed. We are still trying and learning. But this learning and trying defines who we are. There are times that people feel, and it is real, that we have not done enough to create a space for them because they are different. And I recognize that it is true. Many of our siblings of other races find it rather uncomfortable to be here because people feel, people don't approach them to chat. They don't feel welcome in a certain way. Yeah, welcome, yeah, but there seems to be some barriers. It breaks my heart. But we need to learn to grow as community, to create the space for someone else. That's the journey that we need to learn. We have learned to create space through the story of FCC. When we first started out, we were predominantly male, gay male. But we have grown. And as we have more women amongst us, we learn the differences, the struggles that they go through. And even back in the days of Yangzi, how unsafe that space made them feel. We were located, you know, in between theatres that show restricted films, RA films, you know, in other words, soft porn. How does that environment make them feel? Of course, as a gay, cis male, I never experienced that before. I never experienced being leered at. I never experienced feeling unsafe in a space. But we learn. We learn to become more aware, and we have grown. We start thinking about many other issues along the way. We start being considerate about how we can make this space more inclusive for people who are different. And in this way, we are drawing the circle wider. Are we able to do more to reach out to welcome a stranger in our community and make them feel that not visitors or guests, but part of our community? We try. I mean, Jeffrey has started the SEED program, Settle Easily, Engage Deeply, to help newcomers integrate and to know our story over 4 sessions. We have some leaders who have stepped up to run the program. And how many cycles have we run already? 5, right? This is the 5th cycle already. And even in a year where we struggle with the COVID pandemic, we have 5 cycles of SEED. Even with these restrictions and limitations, there is growth, right? Can we do more? Can we do more to help the journey to become part of community easier? Of course. And you can play a part too, especially those of you who are online. Say hi to each other, right? Even saying hi to each other creates that sense that there is someone there. It's not just you're not just watching a show, right? You're not just watching YouTube. There's a community right here, right now. But we need to move beyond that and ask, how do we create a safe space for each other and support each other? And create a space for someone who is different, who want to fit in but don't at this point in time. How do we do that even when it makes us feel uncomfortable or creates conflict? When we create space for someone, we are creating a space where they can recognize their belovedness through community. We are here all to experience God's love. And when we experience God's love, it's not something to possess or to hold on to or to hoard, but it is to be given away. When we love, we allow God's love to flow through us, just like the living water that will become in us a spring of eternal life. But when we don't, you know, when we don't give that love away, what is that? Do you know what's the opposite of living water? Stagnant water. And what does stagnant water do? The water doesn't move, and then those of us in Singapore will know, you know, you keep warning about stagnant water, right? You breed mosquitoes. Stagnant water in drains will, you know, there will be scum on the top. Stagnant water actually becomes unhealthy. As community, we are to call to give that love away. Because stagnant water is unhealthy for us. We need to find a way to allow that love to flow through us to other people. It's not enough to just experience God's love. That experience also entails giving that love away, loving other people. Because from my new understanding, you know, a new perspective, love God and love your neighbor. If you just love God, right, it becomes stagnant. But when you love God and love your neighbor, it becomes the stream of living water that flows. Perhaps that's why the two commandments are linked together. One without the other might not be healthy for us. A safe space that allows us to love people is not one free from conflict and discomfort. Actually, it's inviting conflict and discomfort. When we avoid conflict and we think that it is better to have harmony, we settle for a false kind of peace. It is our willingness to hold on to each other through that conflict, to work through that, you know, to work on our relationship through that conflict that we find growth. And it is through this difficult path that we find shalom, real peace. Have you experienced conflict and arrived? Oh, have you experienced conflict and you avoided that conflict and you arrived at a false sense of peace in your work, in your life? You know, you avoided the conflict, but actually it's a false kind of peace. It's just that nothing's happening, but there's a lot of things underneath. Or have you experienced that you persisted through a conflict in your relationships, whatever kind of relationships, and you reached a deeper level with that person? I want to invite you to think about your experience and share with one another. Are there times that you avoided conflict? Pretend that there's no problem and develop apathy. Yes to both. Well, would you want to share about that experience, the person who say yes to both, so that we can all gain insight? And sometimes we don't realize that we have done that until someone says it and they go, oh yeah, that happened to me too. Yes, this happens a lot in the commercial world and workplace. Oh, yeah. Yes. We pretended that, you know, okay, don't want to raise the issue because raising the issue will create more problems for me. I'll just pretend, you know, like, you know, I'll just let it go. But it's a false kind of peace because you are affected, but you're just not saying it. Avoided conflict and there's no connection. And then also tried to resolve conflict and was avoided for 2 years. Ah. So perhaps when we interact, you know, when we want to engage with one another, both parties will want to work through that conflict to arrive to a deeper level. If one person avoids, then it's not going to work. Pretend it did not happen. Where I, as a man, who fell in love with a straight man who had a girlfriend, the latter is harder. More often it is the first scenario, as the person I encounter seems difficult. So it's better to smile and nod. Usually avoid conflict to keep the peace, which is unhelpful in the end. My mom and I agree to disagree on my trans identity, but every now and then she tries to dissuade me. She just bought me a wig after I cut my hair, and I wear it because it was expensive. I don't know what to do other than to be quiet. With previously good friends confronted, tried, left it alone, and Vic acquaintances do not deal with it anymore. Avoiding conflict can destroy intimacy when needs are unmet and hurt continues. It happens at FCC, exactly. Sometimes I'm hesitant to bring up an issue to my spouse, but when I do, I'm glad I did, because even though it's tough, we eventually understand each other in a deeper way. I try to confront, but need to exercise tact and discernment. Yes, but persisting means giving it time, and sometimes it does mean shutting up. Of course, I'm not saying that, you know, when the conflict arises, you should straight away engage, especially when emotions are high, right? You know, you're all feeling, you know, frustration, anger, and everything. That's not the time to work through conflict. You might need time to calm down and then engage. But the calming down is different from avoiding. Avoiding is just pretending it's not there. And I want to address the sharing from the person whose mom brought you a wig. I'm sorry that that's happening to you. But that's the process. How do we engage in a loving way? And how do we engage in a loving way when we are in pain? Right? And that's something that I don't have the immediate answer and immediate solution. But it is in this space and this safe community that you might find answers. You might find support. Even if you don't find answers, you find support. There are people that you can talk to who care, love, and support you through the struggle and the conflict you're engaged in. One thing that you'll note is we avoid conflict when the relationship has little, we don't value that relationship. Right? We avoid because we don't value that relationship. Whether it is like a vendor or a colleague that, you know, we just interact on a very surface level. But that's not the kind of community we want to be in this church. This is a place that we learn how to live out our authentic selves. So we don't want to be avoidant. But we have learned all our lives how to avoid conflict because it's the easier way. And this is the part of growth that I think that we are being pulled along to, right? This is something that we want to grow through that. Because we don't want to be fake. Because the false sense of peace by avoiding conflict is just fake. Can we work through that and grow? There are many stories in the Bible of conflict, reconciliation, and growth. The story of Jacob and Esau is one we can learn from. In Genesis chapter 32, Jacob knew he had to face his brother Esau when he's hit, and he stole his father's blessing from his older brother. So, the night before, Jacob prayed to God, "Deliver me, please, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I am afraid of him. He may come and kill us all." And at night, he wrestled with God, or with an angel, depending on which part of the text you are reading. And he would not let go until he was blessed. And so God said, "You shall not be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with humans, and you have prevailed." And when Jacob met Esau, Esau didn't kill Jacob. Their meeting, when they were reunited, Jacob went ahead of his entourage and bowing himself on the ground 7 times until he came near his brother. But Esau ran to meet him, embraced him, fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. This scene looks quite familiar to us, doesn't it? Doesn't it remind you the scene where the prodigal son, where the father ran out to embrace the prodigal son? While Jacob didn't fully trust his brother, because after the story, you know, after they met, right, Jacob actually went to Sukkoth instead of Seir. Because he told his brother that, oh, no, you go back first. My entourage is rather slow. I've women, I have children, I have, you know, my herd, and moving too fast, you know, some of them might die. He told his brother to go back. I will catch up with you in Seir. But he never went back to Seir because he didn't trust fully his brother. But I wondered what would have happened if Jacob persisted through this conflict instead of avoiding his brother. Will there be a real reconciliation? There is one thing, though, that is critical so that we can be able to have conflict in community and does not destroy the community. Because conflict can go to a point where we are so shaken up that we split. And we have seen churches split for thousands of years. Churches split, right? The Catholic Church split from the Orthodox Church. And then our Protestant, you know, the Protestant Church split up from the Catholic Church. And then split even more to the countless denominations that we have. To be able to stay together through conflict, there is one thing that we need to have. And that's forgiveness. We make mistakes, we have conflicts, especially when we want to celebrate our differences and uniqueness. But when these differences are lifted up, conflicts will occur. And forgiveness is what we can do. Forgiveness is something that we choose to, an act that we choose to, even when the other person have not asked for forgiveness. When the prodigal son returned home, the father ran out to embrace him even before he had a chance to utter an apology. That is grace. I must say here that there are things that we might find difficult to forgive, especially when we're deeply hurt by people. Those situations will take time. But here we are in community. I'm not talking about those grave situations like murder or actual physical harm. Forgiveness isn't allowing harmful behaviors to continue. Forgiveness is us letting go and not allowing the perpetrator to continue to have an effect on us. Henry Nouwen had offered a perspective on how forgiveness works in community. Forgiveness is to allow the other person not to be God. We are all incapable of loving unconditionally on our own. Only God can give us that kind of love. Forgiveness helps us release others from unrealistic demands. We all have wounds. We all carry pain. It is precisely this feeling of loneliness that lurks behind all our successes. That feeling of uselessness that hides behind all the praise. The feeling of meaningless, even when people say we are fantastic. And that is what makes us grab onto people and expect from them an affection and love they cannot give. We are incapable of loving unconditionally on our own. And so forgiveness is allowing that person not to be God. It's allowing the person to love us imperfectly. Are there times when someone was not able to love us unconditionally? Are we able to release them from the unrealistic demand of loving us unconditionally? Are we able to release them and not allow them to be God? Of course. Because I have experienced that myself. I have unrealistic expectations of people here in church. I expect people to understand me. And sometimes I expect people to understand me when I am not communicated completely. I've not expressed my needs. I expect people to understand. I've not expressed my position. And I get annoyed when people complain or get frustrated or when things don't go according to plan. But I have started to learn to accept that they are imperfect, that they are also struggling, and I am also unable to love perfectly as well. So we all struggle together, trying to hide our brokenness and trying to demand that perfect love from each other that we will never be able to give. And it's when we finally accept our brokenness, my brokenness, your brokenness, that we are able to accept that imperfect love and be a community where healing happens. When I'm able to let go of the need for you to be unconditionally loving to me, then I will be able to accept your love that is imperfect. And I think that's the kind of community, because too often we imagine each other to, you know, we are Christians, therefore we are able to love perfectly. But we are not perfect. We are not. We want to be Christ-like, but we cannot be Christ. And that's the growth that we need to learn. And that's how we can let go, forgive one another, and in that conflict, grow into someone that we are called to be. This comes a lot from Henry Nguyen's article many years ago. And we have talked about this many, many years ago in our church retreat. And the article is From Solitude to Community to Ministry. And it's a beautiful article that it's worth revisiting time and time again, because it helps us understand what are the foundations for our Christian faith. Solitude, being alone in prayer with God. Then we progress to be with each other, right? From the spring of living water that's welling in our hearts, then flows into community and flows outwards into the world to be our ministry in the world. Community isn't just a safe space, because community is, we are not only called together as community, but we are also sent out. Jesus says, I sent you into the world. Just as my Father sent me, I am sending you. We are sent forth into the world. So the stream of living water flows through us into community and through us as community into the world. If we remain huddled in this space and feel good only about ourselves and only about people who are like us, then we'll become like stagnant water again and not living water. We are sent out from this church, from this community, so that we can be salt and light in the world. We bring how we celebrate everyone's belovedness into the world and become living testimonies of God's love and justice. The vision of Isaiah, the vision of even an infant playing next to the cobra's den, that vision can only come to pass if we learn how to do that in community and bring it out into the world. We play that part to do God's work and God's call for this vision to become reality. And this is a continuing story of God and us. Amen.
And now, as a community, let us share a Holy Communion, this meal that Jesus had with his disciples, this meal that he invites us all to. So if you are joining us online, please feel free to go prepare some elements that for you could represent the bread and wine as we go into communion together. So we gather each Sunday at this table, and even though at this time we're not physically together, the table of God's feast transcends time and space because God's love transcends all boundaries. So this table recognizes no boundaries. Here at FCC, we celebrate an open table. This means you do not have to meet any criteria. You do not have to be a member of FCC. You do not have to be baptized. You only need to recognize that God's grace is sufficient. Ascribe to the Lord, O mighty ones. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due God's name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of God's holiness. Together, it is good to praise the Lord.
And make music to your name, O Most High, to proclaim your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night. For you make me glad by your deeds, O Lord. I sing for joy at the works of your hands.
If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness.
Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting.
You, Lord, are righteous in all your ways, and loving towards all you have made. You, Lord, are near to all who call on you, to all who call on you in truth. This then is how we should pray.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted.
Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth.
Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled.
Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy.
Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God.
Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God.
Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one loaf. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Can I invite the stewards to come forward to help us to distribute the elements today? For those of you who are on site, please wait for the stewards to serve you. That's more for health and safety regulations, okay? For those of you who may be new, just hold on to the elements and we will partake of the elements together after everyone has been served as a community. Is not this the kind of communion the Lord has chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and to untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke. Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter when you see the naked, to clothe them?
Together, then our light will break forth like the dawn, and our healing will quickly appear. Then our righteousness will go before us, and the glory of the Lord will be our rear guard.
Then we will call,
and the Lord will answer.
We will cry for help,
and the Lord will say, "Here am I."
Let us eat and drink of the bread and wine, remembering the gift of salvation and the call to give of ourselves to the needs of others. If you are willing and able, can I invite you to stand as we do the prayer of communion together? We are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that we may declare the praises of God who has called us out of darkness into God's wonderful light. We will praise you, O Lord, among the nations.
We will sing of you among the peoples.
For great is your love reaching to the heavens.
Your faithfulness reaches to the skies.
Be exalted, O God, above the heavens.
Let your glory be over all the earth.
Amen. Please be seated.
Good morning, church, and welcome home once again to the Free Community Church, where FREE stands for First Realize Everyone's Equal. We are really thankful that you have made this time to join us, and we pray that you have found the sermon, where I personally found it to be very good and touching and relevant today, and also Pauline's sermon last week about inclusion and LGBT, God and us. I love this sermon series and I pray that it has ministered to you as well. As we continue our service this day, we have come to giving as a part of our service to God. So for those of you who would like to contribute as a token of your appreciation for God's blessing, you can do so and contribute by cash for those who are here on site. The stewards will come later to collect and present the offering back for you to place your offerings. Or for those of you who would prefer not giving cash, you can do so and contribute by using direct debit or sending instructions to our DBS account stated in the slide, or by PayNow. Those who are on site, you can scan the QR code that is pasted on the back of the seat in front of you. Or those who are online at home, you can also now contribute by scanning the online QR code that is shown here now. Before we proceed, let us now give thanks for the offerings today, that it may bless and continue our service to God. Please join me in prayer. O Lord, our Heavenly Parent, the God of many names, we are indeed mindful and thankful for this time that you have blessed us with to come together to be a part of this community at this church where we can worship you in safety, that we can be ourselves and have this time to learn from you and with each other. We pray that as we prepare our giving, that you may bless this financial gift, that it would help to reach out to others, and as we use it in your name, to continue our service to you. Thank you, God, for this, the many blessings, and we thank you for being with us always. All this we ask in your Son's most precious and holy name. Amen. So welcome home once again, one and all. We really appreciate this time that you can come to offer a time of thanksgiving in worship to God. For those of us who are new here, so we will be having our welcome to the Free Community Church new members meeting happening next week, which is always the last Sunday of every month. So the newcomer meeting where you can come together to learn more about Free Community Church, about our lessons and our lives and our message and our outreach. We really appreciate that if you can join us, and if you are interested, to please come join us live or come and email us at info@freecomchurch.org. We will be having a membership Sunday this coming Easter in April. And this is a time where you can feel that if you connect with us and you feel that you want to be a part of this community, to be a part of Free Community Church, you know, and feel that this is where you are called to come and serve and worship with us. Please, you know, let us know by emailing us info@freecomchurch.org. Our membership Sunday is where you would like to pledge to be a member of our community. There are certain requirements where you have to be 21 years and above. You have a willingness and a commitment for financial giving, and you need to attend a membership class just so that you can be aligned with what and who we are and how you want to continue your service and connection with this church. As Myak has so elegantly shown during his sermon earlier, we are again having this Witnessing Through Stained Glass project that will be closing next Sunday, the 28th of March. So for those of us who do not know anything about this, you can find out more by emailing us at info@freecomchurch.org, or alternatively, you know, you can also read up a little bit more about what all this is stained glass is about. We will be doing some coloring on translucent tiles, and then we will, as an expression of your understanding and connection with God, as an expression of how you want to connect with God. I mean, this is a sermon series of God and us. So how God comes to you, how you see God, how you connect with God. So please feel free to join us. Submit your work by next week. You can get the tiles from the pastors, from your cell group leaders, or even Daniel. So feel free to reach out to us. Get your creative thoughts, thinking, and you know, if you are like me, not an artist, it's just an expression. So just feel free to draw, paint, whatever it is that you feel is your connection with God. Nothing can happen without volunteers. You know, we are here at Free Community Church. We want you to be a part of this community. So we welcome you to volunteer your time and service. And if you feel called that this is where you want to serve, please feel free to email us that you are interested to help out at info@freecomchurch.org. We are looking for a production ministry and communications ministry, but that is not the only thing that we are looking for. So if you feel that, you know, you have a talent or you have some time to spare and you want to find out more and see how you can join us and volunteer as a service, you know, to do the service better, please feel free to let us know. And no training, no experience or technical expertise is needed, as training will be provided. So come and join us for an information session, a walk behind the scenes, and then to see if this is the ministry for you. But also as part and parcel of the ministry, we also want to hear from you. So, you know, as what Pauline and Miak has always reiterated time and again. If you feel that, you know, there's something that you want to learn from us, learn with us, that can bring us to the next level of how we can do anything better, always please give us your feedback, because that is a form of volunteerism also. Volunteer your thoughts, volunteer your time, volunteer your heart of service. We now come to the next segment, and we like to ask Pauline to give us the benediction for this week.
And now will you receive the benediction? Loving God, you call us into community because you are a God of community. You have made us into the body of Christ, a people of God who represent you and your love, your justice, your grace to this world. So God, as we come together in community, as we grow together in community, God, help us to always do so with your love, with your spirit at hand, helping us. And even as we journey on together, God, we look to you to lead us and to guide us. So now go. Go as God's people into this world, a God who's called, a people who are called into solidarity with and to stand with all who may be suffering. And so go. And may God's grace, God's peace, God's love go with you. Amen.
So thank you, everyone, for joining us this day for this Sunday service. You can still continue to stay connected with us through the various means that's shown on the slides right now. Please feel free to connect with us, as we want you to be a part of our community. Connect with us through community, connect with us through sharing of information, connect with us all the time so that we, together as a church, as a community, can connect with God a little bit deeper. And thank you for your time once again. Please feel free to reach out and keep us, join us next week as we continue the sermon series of God and Us. Thank you, and have a blessed week ahead. Shalom.